Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we have something very special we're going to be talking about on today's edition. So let's get it rolling right now on Basic Gospel. And to do that, here's my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk about fake news today on the broadcast, and we're going to talk about that with Andrew, as yesterday was the release of his new book, Twisted Scripture. And, mm-hmm. you know, fake news has been circulating since the very beginning of time. The most devastating of that fake news has been the lies about God, about Jesus, his finished work on the cross, what it means to be saved, how are we saved. Those things have been trapping Christians, trapping people since way back in the garden.
Indeed.
And, you know, somebody needs to do something about it, as I think one of your endorsers said, Andrew, and you're doing something about it. You've leveled up the charge against these lies, and they're trying to bring some clarity to the truth of Scripture. And you've just done a marvelous job in your new book, Twisted Scripture, and excited that we can talk about it today.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. I'm excited, too. We're all looking forward to seeing this get into the hands of so many people to be an encouragement to them. I guess we get distracted. I mean, we get distracted by fine-sounding arguments. We lose sight of our focus on Jesus Christ, and we end up adding things to the gospel. We get to the point where we're duped by popular opinion or religiosity. And so it's always fun to get back to the core message of the gospel and to untangle these lies. And that's kind of the theme of this book, is untangling the lies that Christians have been told. So I'm excited to discuss it with you guys today.
Well, you have 45 lies in the book. Are these the ones that you've run into most often? How did you limit it to 45?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because this book is really about difficult passages of the New Testament. I mean, everything from, is God going to tell you, depart from me? If you don't do your part, if you don't keep up your end of the bargain, is God going to say, depart from me? Is he going to spew you out of his mouth? Is he going to delete you from the book of life? It's these sort of passages that I think Christians struggle with. These things trip them up. It incites fear. I mean, we want to believe in God's grace, and yet so many passages plague us and eat at us if they're not put in proper context. So the 45 lies are actually centered on about 100 different passages that are challenging in the New Testament. So that's what inspired everything. And my hope and prayer is that as people get the book and crack it open and start reading, that God's Spirit would just reveal what he's always said, and that is that the truth will set us free. That's my heart in writing the book, and we're excited that it's finally available. After 2 years, it is out and available now.
Yes, it is. And you can get your copy at basicgospel.net. We have a big, huge banner with the cover right on it. So just click that banner, and it will take you to Amazon, where you can order a copy. Let me ask you, Andrew, you know, we've all been bound up by some lie, something that has robbed us of the truth, that has suppressed the joy of our salvation. What was the one lie that really tangled you up and caused you to really live in bondage instead of the freedom that is yours in Christ?
Well, you know, I heard the identity message pretty early on. I was 16 years old, some 3 decades ago, when I first heard about our identity in Jesus Christ. So it was interesting, Bob. I had that piece of the new covenant early on, but what I was missing was the message of total forgiveness, this once-for-all forgiveness. I had not heard that yet. I'd never heard it taught in church. I'd never read a book about it. And then, boom, the book of Hebrews just highlights it in unbelievable fashion. You know, the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, you're not forgiven little by little. You're not forgiven in portions or installments. It's not like paying off your mortgage here. I mean, Jesus died one time. It worked the first time. It needs no repeat. So you're a totally forgiven person. And Bob, for me, you know, I guess in the book, Twisted Scripture, it's lie number 33. God forgives you little by little each time you sin. That's what I believed. And, you know, the number 33 reminds all of us of the death of Jesus Christ at age 33. And when he did that for us, he didn't give us forgiveness little by little. He gave us total forgiveness. Hebrews 10:14, by one offering, he has made us perfect forever. So, guys, that lie that we're getting forgiven little by little every day, and, oh, my goodness, if you don't remember one, if you don't confess one, if you don't properly repent of one, then you're stuck, and, man, you're going to have to answer for that one. That was the rut I was stuck in for a long time, Bob. And you talk about guilt, man. That system, it heaps on the guilt.
Yes, it does. It just layer by layer. And it, you know, when that forgiveness hits and you realize he has really taken away all of your sins, that he's forgiven everyone, past, present, and future, the weight that's lifted is just unbelievable. And I know that's really the door that kind of opens up everything else, isn't it?
Until you
rest in the finality of the cross, you're never going to experience really the joy of his life in you, are you?
Yeah, because you're wondering, did I ruin it yet? Has God's grace run out on me? Did the blood of Jesus dry up on me, so to speak? Are there leftover sins that I need to take care of somehow? Maybe I've forgotten some. And we're so preoccupied with our track record. We're trying to get our slate clean. We're trying to keep short accounts with God. We're trying to stay confessed up. And our focus is on us and what we're doing and how we're keeping up, and it's almost like you need a mobile app or a supercomputer to keep up with all your sinning. And the reality is, you know, Jesus, he saw all of our sins before we ever committed any of them. He, you know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw every sin during the entire timeline of our lives. And so when it says he forgave us for all time, we need to celebrate that. Look, this is not about some license to sin or, oh man, this is just going to make me go out and do whatever I want. This is about respecting the blood of Christ. Let's respect the blood of Jesus. It is more powerful than the blood of bulls and goats, period. It is more powerful than Old Testament sacrifices. So that's the heart in us needing to know this. We need to know this so that we honor and respect the blood of Jesus, and then move on to what you just emphasized, the fact that we're united with Christ, that we have his life in us. That is the most important truth of all.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and me, and we're glad you're with us today. And it's a very, very special day in Andrew's life and ours as well, because it's the day that Twisted Scripture, and Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told, the brand new book by Andrew, 2 years in the making. And I'm looking forward to reading the entire book, Andrew. And it looks like that maybe, I guess, each of the 45 that you mention in the book and you cover assume a number of their own. But have you weighted the number one lie that is causing the most twisting out there?
Well, I think there's a category, Bob, a category of lies out there. It goes a little something like this, that you can fall from grace and lose your salvation. That's a big lie. The lie that God is going to give up on you or get rid of you or leave you or ditch you or abandon you. You know, all of that category of thoughts, there's an entire section on this in this book called Eternal Security, and it deals with the depart from me passage, the blot you out passage, the spit you or spew you out passage, the idea that you have to keep the faith in order to stay saved, that it's up to you somehow to maintain, to hold fast, or to continue, and people interpret those things as some sort of effort to stay saved. And then the idea of falling from grace. What does that mean? So many lies that center around our security in Jesus. Christians don't need to be quaking in their boots. We can have confidence that we are saved. We can know for certain that we're saved, and we can depend on the truthfulness of God when he says, I'll never leave you.
Well, the book is called Twisted Scripture, and friends, if you'd like to get a copy, we'd like for you to do that. Go to basicgospel.net, a big prominent link right there on the homepage, a big banner, and you can click that banner, and it'll take you just exactly where you need to go to get a copy of Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told by Andrew Farley.
Yeah, and guys, here's something that I want to say to you, our listeners. There's a lot of books written every year. I think it's well over a million. And, you know, a lot of times books that are of most importance, that really speak to the heart, that really answer those deep questions that all of us have, are overlooked or just obscured. They don't find their way out into the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And it's time for that to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, people are hurting out there. They're hurting deeply. And the only answer is Jesus Christ. The world is bombarding, filling their minds with lies, a different narrative about God than what the Bible is giving us, what the grace of God is giving us. And we want you to have this book. We want you to go and make this book a bestseller. It's already a bestseller in some Christian categories. It's rising up the charts on Amazon as far as bestseller for all books. But let's push and push and push and push and get it into the mainstream so that people's real problems, the things that they're dealing with when they go to bed at night, the things that are knotting their stomachs up, let's give that truth to set them free. And you can be a big help by going to Amazon, go to basicgospel.net, and get your copy of this book, read it, and then pass it on. But as it rises up the charts, more and more people are going to take notice. So let's let the world take notice on the grace of God, that the grace of God found in Jesus Christ is the answer. And let's do all that we can. I'd love to see this in the top 10. I'd love to see it as the number one bestseller on Amazon. And boy, if we Christians would just get behind this. We've learned all about how to be good husbands and manage our money and all of this sort of stuff. But we failed miserably when it comes to walking by faith in Jesus Christ, simply resting in his finished work and trusting him as our power for the journey. So go to basicgospel.net, click the Twisted Scripture icon, and get your copy, and then tell people about it. So, well, back to you, Andrew. Let's talk about some of these things. You've divided the book up into a number of sections. The first section is on salvation, and lie number one is you must be baptized in water to be saved. Hmm. How many times have we heard that on Basic Gospel,
yeah.
And how many times have you heard it? But it's a lie that's out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like 2,000 years ago when the Judaizers were pushing for circumcision. They were saying, it's great that you've got Jesus, but you need Jesus plus law keeping. You need Jesus plus circumcision. You need Jesus plus something physical or something effort-based. Well, 2,000 years later, you fast forward to today, and we've got people saying, oh, it's great that you're into Jesus. That's wonderful. But we need Jesus plus water baptism, Jesus plus a swimming pool, Jesus plus a lake, Jesus plus 10 seconds of being dunked, and then you're saved. Well, that is a lie, and it is very deceptive. I mean, Jesus turns to the thief on the cross. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. He doesn't say we need to first find a baptismal. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And, you know, Peter says, baptism saves you. And people take that out of context. But he says, hang on now, baptism saves you, but not the washing of your body with water, but instead an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection. So we get spiritually baptized, we get immersed, placed into Christ. And when that happens, we're crucified, buried, and raised, we're resurrected with Jesus, and that is salvation. But it has nothing to do with H2O. Man, water baptism is a beautiful celebration, just like the Lord's Supper. But when you lift that glass to your lips and take a sip, it doesn't save you. When you eat that bread, it doesn't save you. And when you get dunked in that water, it doesn't save you. It is a celebration of Jesus Christ saving us. Yeah. So we have to put our dependence in the right place, put it squarely in the cross and the resurrection to give us that new life.
Yeah, I know when I was baptized. I was baptized as a baby, as an infant, and didn't remember that one. Mom and Dad had to tell me about it. And then when I really came to Christ later on in life, I wanted to make a public confession. I wanted to be baptized in water. And I had this crazy notion that, boy, I was going to come out of that water, and, boy, all those sinful desires were going to disappear.
And everything would be different.
Everything would be different. And boy, you just put a lot on an experience. And the experience was great. It was wonderful to make that public confession and to have people rejoice with me. But the lie that says it's that experience that counts for everything, that's gonna twist you up in all kinds of ways. So the only thing that saves is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. He's the one that saves. And anybody going to the throne saying, hey, Jesus, you need to open up the doors, I got water baptized, there you're gonna be in sad shape. For sure. So that's one of the lies. That's lie number one that Andrew addresses in this book. There's just so many that we can choose from.
It's a highlight reel.
Yeah,
that's
exactly right. One, lie number three, and this is really a good one. It's about saying that you're saved by Jesus' death on the cross. And so many people just look at the cross and they miss the burial, they miss the resurrection, and they miss the ascension. But the fact is, we're saved by the life of Christ, not by the death of Christ, aren't we?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15 says the resurrection is the biggest deal of all. I mean, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless. And you are still in your sins. So imagine if you were not in Christ. Imagine if you were still in your sins, dead in your sins. Well, then that's the state of an unbeliever. So what is salvation? Salvation is when God takes you and he transfers you out of Adam. He puts you in Christ. He transfers you out of your sins and puts you in the Spirit, in Jesus. He takes you out of the flesh. Romans 8 says you're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So it is by his doing that we are in Christ Jesus. I like to think of that image of a master crane operator hoisting us out of Adam, transferring us across a great chasm, and placing us in Jesus Christ. And in him, we undergo a surgery. We get included in his death, burial, and resurrection. We're running around saying, I'm born again, I'm born again. Well, how'd you get that way? You had to die first. So you died with Jesus, crucified with Christ, and then you were born again to newness of life. What kind of life? Resurrection life. So it is the pouring in of God's life, the pouring in of the life of Jesus, the resurrection life of Christ into us that saves us. That's how we're saved. Romans 5 says we were reconciled by the cross, but we were saved by Jesus' life, Romans 5:10. To me, that is an incredible Bible verse that we should be shouting from the rooftops, we're saved by his life.
Yeah, because that really addresses our need, doesn't it? I mean, yes, we're sinners in need of forgiveness, but we were dead in need of life. And Jesus Christ came to give us life, and he's the only one that has life. So to be saved, we have to receive him. Now you get into some other passages about the old and the new. When did the New Testament era actually begin? Was that at the birth of Christ?
Yeah, so people divide history that way, don't they? I mean, you've got B.C. and A.D., and that's how the world divides history. But lie number 10 in Twisted Scripture is this. The New Testament era began at the birth of Jesus. Well, that's actually false. It did not begin at the birth of Jesus. It began at the death of Jesus. When we look into the book of Hebrews, one of my favorite letters, we find an incredible truth, and that is that you can't start a covenant. A covenant does not begin unless there has been a death. It is never in force while the one who made it lives. So the new covenant was not in force when Jesus was 5 years old or 10 years old or 20 years old. The new covenant was not going into effect until blood was shed, until he hung on that cross. And so, you know, guys, I think we need to know that. We're asking people to make a 33-year shift in their mentality, moving the dividing line of history 33 years up to the cross. Because, I mean, just look at some of the teachings of Jesus. You cannot make sense of the Sermon on the Mount unless you understand that he was teaching under the law, that his audience was under the law, and that they needed to see the hopelessness of being under law. Cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, be perfect. He told the rich man, go sell everything, give to whoever asks of you without hesitation. Look, we would all be broke. Every Christian would be broke. If every Christian were living by the Sermon on the Mount, give to whoever asks of you without hesitation, the world would find out about that quick. You better believe it. They would be writing letters to every Christian saying, give me all your stuff. And so we would have arms chopped off and eyes plucked out. Jesus was showing how we can never live up to the spirit of the law. That's why he fulfilled it. We couldn't, we can't, and we don't have to, because he already did. And guys, that dividing line is so important, understanding that it was the cross that brought in the new way of God's grace.
Yeah, Richard has called that the pivot point, the place of change, and I think that is so important for us to know. And I know in your ministry, on your radio broadcast, you make that point time and time again. We make that point time and time again here on Basic Gospel, because once we understand that, the pieces of this good news really, really fit into place. Let me ask you this. We have about 50 seconds left. What do you want readers to take from this book? What is your prayer for every person that opens up this book and reads it from beginning to end?
Oh, Bob, you know, my heart in this is that everybody would see that there is no fly in the ointment, there's no worm in the apple, there's nothing that ruins God's grace. Let's face it, we've heard some great preaching over the years, and then we've heard some ideas that have really messed us up. And yet God's word stands. It is the truth that sets us free. So what if God is actually good? What if he is good to us? What if he's good to us all the time? What if we can trust his goodness? What if the gospel is just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago? That is my hope and prayer, as people pick up a copy of Twisted Scripture and begin to look at it, that all of the lies would become obvious, and that the truth of the gospel, the truth about Jesus, would shine more brightly, that people would be encouraged, that they might hand these copies away to friends and people they care about. Let's get this message out.
Yes, indeed. Well, Andrew, thank you so much. I love your passion. I love your clarity. I love your conviction. And, boy, it's needed in this world today. And as Andrew said, get a copy of his new book. It's available at basicgospel.net. Just click on the big icon right in the center of the page and follow all the instructions. Read it and pass it on. Bob.
Andrew, you're excited. We're excited. And I know that those who whose lives will be changed by what they read in this book are going to be excited as well. That's our time. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope you will, too. Bye-bye.